It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The University of North Texas has picked NASA's number two to lead the growing public university system. This morning, the Board of Regents named Lisa Rowe as a sole finalist to be chancellor of the system. Her confirmation is expected next month. As KERA's Christopher Connolly reports, Rowe has had a long career at the nation's space program.
Lisa Rowe hopscotched across the country, working her way up the ranks at NASA. And when you spend more than three decades working on projects that literally push the boundaries of space exploration, it's hard to pick the coolest moment of your career.
Oh my gosh, that's really hard to nail down because there's too many exciting things to talk about.
Rowe managed the research program at the International Space Station for a while and helped launch missions that have discovered new worlds. An engineer by training, Rowe even helped build the space shuttle Endeavour, literally installed its communication systems. But, she says, perhaps the most thrilling moment came in the middle of the night a little more than 5 years ago.
As you come up on entry,
Rowe was in Pasadena, California, in the control room as the Curiosity rover was landing on Mars. She says the tension in the room was palpable, with dozens of blue-shirted scientists and engineers anxiously watching their screens.
There's what they call 7 minutes of terror, where you have no communications as the vehicle is going through the atmosphere of Mars.
Rowe says most of those people had spent their entire careers working on getting a robot the size of a Mini Cooper to the surface of the red planet. So when it landed safely,
everybody just exploded in excitement. And so that's something that just sticks with you forever.
So how do you go from being the number two at NASA, an organization with more than 17,000 employees and a $19 billion budget, to running a university system in Texas? Rowe says there is a connection.
We really need a well-trained, well-educated workforce coming in to make those tremendous scientific discoveries, to do all of the incredible systems, the design, everything that we do in NASA. And so the University of North Texas system's role is to develop those students that can do that kind of work.
Rowe will take over a growing university system. There's a new law school in Dallas and a new medical school in the works in Fort Worth. Rowe says she wants to make sure all of UNT's graduates are attractive to top employers.
Every time I talk to students, I talk about doing internships and really getting that hands-on experience and seeing what it's like and learning and being part of a team, even while you're a student in a university.
Rowe wants UNT to be inclusive and accessible for people of all economic backgrounds. And personally, she's on a mission to get more women into STEM fields.
I have a huge passion for young girls seeing, yeah, I can do this. I can be a part of it. I was one of those young girls. I was the first to go to college in my family. And so I want to help be that encourager to say you can do this.
And if they need a little inspiration along the way, she's always got that whole Mars landing story to tell them. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
The agenda for last month's G20 summit included items considered to be most urgent to global security. And for the first time, global health was among them. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with Mark Dybul, former United States Global AIDS Coordinator, about why Ebola, Zika, and other diseases pose a threat to international stability.
We are worried today, I think appropriately, about refugees. We are worried today about instability in countries. We are worried today about civil wars in countries and cross-border conflict. The population of sub-Saharan Africa is projected to double by the year 2030 to 2050. If you don't have health, education, where will those people go? What will those countries look like? It's not going to be a pretty picture. What we see today is a drop in the bucket compared to the refugee crises, compared to the wars, compared to the insecurity we will see. And this is why, literally, the defense establishment and national security establishment are the strongest supporters of development. They're the strongest supporters of providing health and education, because without economic growth and development, there isn't enough money. General Mattis said a long time ago, you don't invest in this stuff, I have to buy a lot more ammunition. And there's not enough ammunition in the world to solve the crises that are coming.
Mark Dybul's essay, How HIV, SARS, and Ebola Put Global Health on the Agenda, appears in the current issue of The Catalyst. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Ambreen Butt is a leader in revitalizing the centuries-old form of Islamic art known as miniature painting. Recently, she moved to North Texas, and she's begun using her techniques to create giant installations. In this week's Artist Spotlight, Art & Seek's Hadi Mawagi learns how she confronts gargantuan issues by starting small.
When you enter the Dallas Contemporary, the 40,000-square-foot space can make you feel tiny. This is especially true standing next to Ambreen Butt's grand installations. The works are 6 feet tall and 12 feet long. They feature lavish colors and ornate designs that originate from Butt's training in the seductive art of miniature painting.
It is miniature, but it's not. So it went from very, very small to kind of, you know, all these crazy scales. And in the process, I kept redefining, like, you know, my relationship with miniature painting.
Butt's new to Dallas. Her family moved from Boston to Southlake for her husband's job. Originally, she's from Pakistan and graduated from the National College of Art in Lahore. The school is one of the only institutions in the world to grant degrees in miniature painting.
You know, when I chose miniature painting as my major, there were hardly any students there.
The traditional technique requires enormous patience. Artists paint one tiny stroke at a time with handmade brushes made from a few squirrel hairs. Paintings are as small as a 3-inch square and can take weeks to complete. Miniature painting was very popular in Southeast Asia during the 15th and 16th centuries.
Miniature painting kind of flourished during the Mughal era, and after the fall of Mughal Empire, basically it became a dead art form.
Today, the school's program is thriving. And that's partially due to Butt. She's one of a group of contemporary artists rethinking the sophisticated genre.
They've just expanded it in different directions. In the case of Ambreen, you know, with different materials, with different size, certainly with different stories, different ideas that are in the work.
That's Pirana Calvolcini. She's the curator of contemporary art at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston. She's known Butt and watched her work evolve for nearly 15 years.
So certainly the initial miniature paintings are made with the paper and they're layered, and then to move into resin and then to move into a kind of a huge digital projection. She's gone far.
Butt is still inspired by miniature painting. Her pieces are large now, but they still require lots of patience. The exhibition includes a large portrait of a $5 bill, and it's made from thousands of pieces of torn cash that have been rolled and precisely placed. The work's a commentary on money and politics. Three other pieces look like giant Persian rugs. They were created to hang in the U.S. Embassy in Islamabad. Locks, keys, and coat hooks decorate the pieces. They're made out of resin and dyed bright colors. For Butt, they imply things like the U.S. travel ban or some people's fear of Middle Easterners since 9/11. But she says the work doesn't have to be viewed politically.
Keys, you know, it's a symbolism. It's just so positive. And there are more keys here. You know, it's like only a few locks, but keys, it's just like opening. It's just like when you say the word open, it's just so much imagery coming to your mind.
She says her art reacts to political issues like terrorism, violence, and political oppression. But she wants audiences to find their own meaning.
You know, if people come in and they just take it at the surface as it's beautiful, that's fine. They don't have to get it exactly what I'm thinking, as long as it will lead somewhere.
But expects her work, large or small, to evolve. She knows beauty will always be integral, and she hopes her audience will grow with her and grasp the big ideas behind her work. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Head over to artandseek.org for more on artist Ambreen Butt. Mostly cloudy skies tonight, a chance of rain with a low around 78. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.